its current state. You're tuned to 90.5 WKAR or WKAR.org. I'm Mark Bayshore. For a number of weeks, I've kept one eye on Clinton County and a proposal there to erect dozens of wind towers. The energy plan comes from a Chicago company, and they've dubbed the project Fowler Farms because of its proximity to the community of Fowler, just west of St. John's. According to reports, the wind energy company, Forest Hill Energy of Chicago, now is suing three townships in the county, alleging that the townships collaborated and conspired to toughen standards for the project and essentially stop it. Apparently, the county adopted one set of wind tower standards. I've been in touch with a few people on the county commission up there. The county adopted one set of standards. These three townships toughened those standards in terms of how much noise they make, how close they can be to subdivisions, homes, what have you. And now the whole thing is headed to Circuit Court in St. John's. Are you acclimating to wind towers? Are you okay with them? Or are they a blight on the landscape? They are continuing. They continue to become more common in our state. So the question is, to what extent can we coexist? We'll continue to keep an eye on that. Your thoughts always welcome at currentstate@wkar.org. First today, data show Michigan's nearly 700,000 veterans are not connecting with key services that state and federal agencies offer, like employment, health, and education. In fact, recent statistics show that Michigan's veterans rank last in the nation in utilizing federal Veterans Administration benefits. Now, to correct the situation, Governor Rick Snyder announced the creation of a new state agency in his January State of the State address. Last month, the governor approved $3 million to fund the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency. Jeff Barnes is a U.S. Army veteran, and he is the agency's first director. We spoke yesterday, and I first asked Director Barnes to rank Michigan on a scale of 1 to 10 in getting important services to veterans.
Well, I got to be honest, we're pretty challenged with being able to do that. The disparate system that a veteran encounters when they come back to the state is one that's pretty disconnected. So when you look, you know, the rankings for the state have gotten a lot of publicity over the past year. We're ranked at the bottom of the barrel, if you will, for services that we provide to veterans. And that's it's not a reflection of just the services that are provided. It's also a reflection of the utilization of the services by the veteran themselves. And so I wouldn't put it in a scale of 1 to 10. What I would say is that what we do as a state is a lot of uncoordinated efforts. We don't plug in very well to the local community. That's an area that's ripe for improvement.
So what are you focusing this effort on exactly?
Well, what we are trying to do with our veterans is make it easier to connect to those benefits that they're eligible for. And the four areas that we're going to focus on with the agency are employment, education, healthcare, and quality of life. Because those are really four areas that if a veteran is connected to, that it will make it easier for them to transition on to the next chapter of their life, wherever they are, regardless if they are just transitioning back from active duty, or if they're a Vietnam veteran that transitioned back several decades ago.
But it sounds like coordination of services really needs an awful lot of attention. Am I right?
Oh, definitely. Within the state government, there are 15 departments and agencies that provide some level of services to veterans. And in the local community, the initial scans that we've done would suggest that there's somewhere around 400 to 450 organizations that might be nonprofit or foundations that provide some service to veterans. And when a vet is coming back and trying to connect to those services, it's a difficult challenge. Sometimes it becomes a disparate system that's difficult to navigate to find those things that you might be eligible for. And, you know, the reason for that's a couple of things. Is the definition for a veteran is not always straightforward. Often what we will try to do is ask whether or not a person has ever served in the armed forces. Because what you'll find is some folks that have served, but maybe not deployed during a combat time, might prematurely exclude themselves from some of the benefits that are eligible for veterans. And so what we have to do is raise awareness with the veteran and tell them what they're eligible for. and try to connect them to the opportunities that are out there that are appropriate for their level of service.
So is the bigger challenge not so much that services don't exist, is the bigger challenge just connecting veterans with the service?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And, Admiral Mike Mullen, the former chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, used to refer to it as a sea of goodwill. And he said, you know, when a soldier is returned into their community, sometimes it's so difficult to be able to figure out where they need to go on that sea of goodwill and how they connect into a pipeline of services that help them. And so for, you know, a returning vet that might be coming back from post 9/11, a good start point is trying to get them connected to their education benefits so that they can start that pivot point to their next step in their career. And while they're going through that, they're entitled to 5 years of health care that they're eligible for immediately. And so being able to connect them, that gives them an opportunity to get some of those health care services that they might need immediately following service. And then the employment opportunities that are out there that are for veterans, sometimes we lose people. We let them get back into the education system. And then they use the career services at the university, and they forget about the networks that are for veterans to utilize. And so that's we leave some opportunities on the table that would make it easier for our veterans to connect and to move on.
Is it apparent to you at this point how Michigan's situation got so chaotic?
Well, I think it's probably a reflection of a very rapidly changing veterans benefit climate. Since the year 2000, so many things have changed in the veterans arena. Eligibilities for Vietnam veterans have changed over 50 times in that period of time. And so when you look at that, if a veteran hasn't utilized the VA system for a long time, they're not aware of what they're eligible for. The other thing is that they just don't know the quality of service that it currently exists. This is certainly a different VA than what it was 15 years ago.
How do veterans' needs vary by age and by sex, for that matter? We've got women veterans, we've got male veterans. How do those vary?
Sure. That's a great question. When you look at how we deliver the structure of services, at different points in your life, you need different things. It's really not different than any a civilian would go through. Sometimes the need for health care is more escalated than maybe the need for education services. And so there are a lot of different programs out there. What's most important for us in the customer service aspect is to connect with the veteran, figure out where they are in their life situation, and then find out the program that are applicable for them.
You mentioned four areas that you're going to focus on: employment, education, health care, and quality of life. Which of those four do you think is going to take up most of your time?
Well, that's another good question. That's one that I think you're going to spend quite a bit of time in each one of those. You know, one of the things that that I think we will find just the initial look at this problem, employment is a huge piece, and you'll find that a lot of times our veterans who have returned back might be, there's a phenomenon that they refer to as couch surfing. They have difficulty, they live with a family member and they want to move on to another family member or friend while they're looking for employment. They might be having difficulty settling back in the civilian community. And so employment is a huge component of this, being able to be able to help that veteran transition into a quality of life is extremely important. Our veterans are very mission-focused, and that's the way that that we've been through our service, through combat. And so to come back and not really have that mission and not have that stability in life is very unsettling. And then you compound that with a lack of ability to get connected to healthcare, or maybe you are at a position where you can't get employed because you feel that you don't have the education credentials to go to a position that you might have held in the military, results in a lot of our veterans being underemployed. And I think that contributes to an overall level of frustration and unhappiness in that transition back into the civilian community.
You served in the U.S. Army. You tell a memorable story about being in a job interview after your Iraq tour. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, sure. I had just come to the state of Michigan and was interested in integrating back, and it really speaks to the thing that I just spoke about with underutilization. You come back and you have been able to do great things in the military, have charged with a lot of responsibility. In my case, I had, between two tours of combat, had led nearly 700 soldiers into combat and brought everyone home alive. Yet I sat in a civilian job interview and was actually asked by the interviewer, said, "You have a very impressive resume, but have you had any leadership experience?" And to me, that was very humbling and very frustrating at the same time. I knew what I had accomplished on the battlefield, and I was very confident with the tasks and the leadership opportunities that I had in the military. But to come back and to be told if I wanted to go into management, I should look into night security positions or look into things that I felt that I was overqualified for, really frustrated me, because I didn't feel like maybe I was articulating my skill set very clearly, or that people really understood what I was trying to bring to the workplace and to their company. And so that is really a situation that is not all that uncommon when you talk to veterans. It is a difficulty of communicating the opportunities that you've had in the military, the responsibilities that you've had, and how those skill sets can translate into that civilian workplace.
Jeff, what can the average Michigan citizen do to help the lot of the veterans living in the state?
You know, the first thing is encourage the veteran to connect with a veteran service officer or a county veterans counselor. That is a great interim step to do that initial triage point of seeing if the veteran is eligible for benefits, if they need help with employment, and being able to connect into that network of services. The other thing I would encourage the veteran to do is to continue to look at the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency website at michigan.gov. And over the coming weeks and months, we're going to change that website into more of a customer service experience where you'll be able to connect with some of those opportunities. And we'll have customer service reps as we build out the organization that will actually be able to help you troubleshoot some of your questions, whether it's for you as an individual veteran or for you as a family member of a veteran, to help make that connection.
Jeff Barnes is a U.S. Army veteran, and he is Michigan's first director of the Veterans Affairs Agency. Jeff Barnes, best of luck. Thanks for joining us on Current State.
Thank you so much.